You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. All over America, people are voting in early morning programs or early voting programs in states all over the country.
Mike in Palazzari, Manville, New Jersey. I made up my mind when McCain chose Palin, who else would he pick for other key positions in our government? Government's not bad. The people you put in government is bad. So that's one I made up my mind.
That's one voter, and we are America's exit poll. Between now and the election, we want to exit poll any of you who are voting in early voting programs. Tell us how you made up your mind at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org, and we will share them with the rest of the voters who have to wait till November.
And we are going to continue our discussion about voters, because depending on what poll you look at, Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama has anywhere from a 4 to a 13-point lead over Republican John McCain. These are national polls. But with 3 weeks until Election Day, what do these polls really tell us? Do they take racial views into account? Do they include young voters? We're turning now to pollster Ann Selzer, president of Selzer & Company. Good morning.
Good morning.
So how is it possible that there is this enormous spread from 4 to 13 points?
You know, if I were an ordinary voter, I would be very frustrated trying to parse out why these different polls would show so many different things. And the reality is polling has gotten more complicated, and pollsters use different methods. They define likely voters differently. They're taking a look at the electorate from different perspectives, and not all of them are very good at explaining to the reader or to the viewer what exactly it is or the assumptions that they're making. And some of those assumptions lead to a bigger margin for Barack Obama, and some of them lead to a smaller margin for Barack Obama. But virtually all of them, and I think you can sort of take some solace from this, all of them show the same finding, that is, Barack Obama in a lead.
Why is polling more complicated today than it's been in the past? I mean, you're still trying to get into the minds of people before they actually cast a ballot.
That's right, and it's always been tricky. I don't want anybody to think it's ever been a walk in the park. But this year, and it's become more increasingly difficult because there are segments of the population who are harder to reach. People worry a lot about what's happening with cell phones. Can pollsters reach them? Yes, in fact, they can reach them. They're not terribly cooperative when they are reached on cell phones. But are there pollsters who are leaving out a big demographic of younger people if they're just concentrating on landline phones? And the answer is you have to be cagey in your methodology. You have to recognize that that's a problem and find a way to account for it. And if you can account for the age difference between cell phone users and landline users, then the studies show that really you're in pretty good shape.
Polls have been notoriously bad at evaluating what young voters are going to do. I remember in 2004, the estimates were way off when, in fact, you had 2 to 3 million more young voters who actually did cast a ballot.
Well, I think part of the reason is that in any survey that we do, whether they're political or not, we typically undercount younger people. We also typically undercount African Americans. It's just kind of a demographic fact of life. They're harder to get on the phone. Maybe they're home less often. It's just more difficult to include them. And in this year, when the youth vote and the African American vote skew so heavily for Barack Obama, it's not a year where you want to make any mistakes.
And not only the African-American vote, but racial attitudes. There's been much talk about how the polls can account for the so-called Bradley effect. Do you want to explain to us what that is and what evidence exists today that it's in play?
The Bradley effect was named after Los Angeles Mayor Tom Bradley, an African-American, who was shown to be leading in the polls and then lost a very close election. And people came up with the theory that there were white voters who told a pollster on the phone that they were going to vote for Tom Bradley and then went into the voting booth and did not cast the vote for the white candidate instead. From my perspective, and I've done a lot of worrying on this topic, because we polled in Iowa and in Michigan and in Indiana, you know, I just don't see the hard evidence for it. So it's actually rather controversial among pollsters as to whether it exists, and if it does, how might you go about measuring it? My theory is that it's less a matter of people lying to their pollster. I think it's more a matter of a segment of voters kind of not terribly engaged in the election, therefore not showing up as a likely voter, but on election day, something leads them to say, I've got to go and vote. I've got to go and vote. So it's just a matter of having that vote undercounted before the election.
But quickly, from the primary campaign, it would seem that you would be able to find voters who did this, who told a pollster one thing and then maybe didn't vote for Barack Obama in the primary. Is there any evidence from the many, many polls that were taken during the primary campaign?
Again, none that I've seen. And please keep in mind that while there was a large turnout in the primaries, it's nothing like the turnout in a general election. So it can take a very small swing among a few groups of people right at the very end in a heavily politicized time for there to be a difference between the polls and what happens on primary election day.
And final question. Give us your best advice when we're taking a look at these polls. What should we take away from them?
I would do my best to look at the detail to say what do they think a likely voter is, number one. Number two, have they done any adjusting to their sample according to age? Have they made it representative in some way?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means going to the website and digging into the methodology, but because they're not really putting it out there. I think there are some sites. Pollster.com does a very nice job of helping you get more details, and I would just encourage voters to really dig as much as they possibly can tolerate the detail.
Do some digging. Ann Seltzer, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Ann Seltzer, president of Seltzer & Company. Now we turn to Femi Oke for some quick headlines. Femi?
Thank you very much. Just coming up to 20 minutes to the top of the hour.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.